Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. You know, I want to say that there are servants of the Lord, because that's who we are, that strive for excellence. And sometimes we don't recognize it, we don't tell them. But I think of a number of our sisters, Sister Adams, our Sister Pet, culinary staff. Have you ever gone to anything the culinary staff was in charge of, sit down to eat, and find you had no fork, no spoon, nothing to drink? Everything is prepared. And I think when you do things for the Lord, you should be prepared. Because after he did everything, he said, it is good. And so we labor with the Lord. Okay? He has invited us to work alongside him. And so we should always strive to do our best. I remember a year ago at this firm that I partnered with, one of the administrative assistants said to me, I didn't know you were a preacher. I said, well, who told you that? She says, oh, I was Googling something on YouTube of Victor, and she mentioned some other name, and I saw your name. And she said, I saw all these sermons that you preach, and I listened to them. And she said, they were very inspiring. And so what we say here also goes out there. And so we need to be prepared, but also mindful that we represent the Lord as best as we can. A couple of things, though, and I don't think we do this often enough, I want to share with the men, because at the men's meeting, we had mentioned a number of things, and I think that it should be repeated. One was, and many of you were not there, so please listen, one was that sometimes you may be led to give out a song, around the time when the emblems are being given out. But we said we don't want any songs given out when the bread is being given out, nor the cup. If you feel led to give out a hymn, wait till you see the brothers walking down the aisle to pick up the plastic containers to collect the empty cups, then give out a hymn. Why is that important? Because when you give out a song and the cups are still being handed out, some of us are drinking, some of us aren't. There's no time for meditation. That's confusion. The Bible says after they ate and after they drank, they sang a hymn and went out. So any songs given out should never interfere with the passing of the loaf nor the passing of the cup. Another thing that we're asking you to remember is our brothers go all over, not just here, but up to the audio room. So if you give thanks for the emblems, as our brother Trevor did, you look back and the bread is given out. You don't get up and give thanks for the cup until you see the four brothers standing in the hallway, ready to come down the aisle, okay? Because it means they have gotten a chance to drink, attend to others who might be out there. They're now prepared to come down. They don't have to hear you praying and then come running down the hall after you finish. So, brothers, I speak to you. You are wise men. Judge you what I say. Brother Greenidge, are those the two things we spoke about? Amen. So, next month is what month? You sure? Next month is what month? October. And there's a fantastic holiday that the world celebrates in October, is there not? Right? It's what? Young people, you know what it is on October 31st. Halloween. We don't celebrate it, but the world does. So I thought in preparation for that, as I was asking the Lord to lead me in something to share, We're going to talk about a witch, a ghost, and a midnight host. A witch, a ghost, and a midnight host to see what the Lord can share with us. So turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Or if you want a different title, the question is, how desperate are you? How desperate are you? And we want to examine the setting of the desperation, the expression of the desperation, the explanation of the desperation, the outcome of the desperation, and the blessings of godly desperation. 1 Samuel chapter 28, audio room. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, as we look into your word, only your Holy Spirit can take these events and translate them into our reality. And so, Father, we wait to hear from you today, for we know that you can use any mechanism around, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so, Father, as we would wait to hear from your Holy Spirit to speak to each heart, saint and sinner, we know your word will not return unto you void. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. As we turn to God's word this morning, my prayer is like in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when Paul said, I give thanks to God constantly for you, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is. The word of God, which is work in you believers. So let's look at that. Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, you assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men. Now the Philistines were enemies of Israel, but at this point, David, don't miss this, is teamed up with the Philistines. And now they're going to fight against his people. The interesting thing about him is the way David answers him in verse 2. So David said to Achish, surely you know what your servant can do. Okay? So Achish said, you assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men. And David says, well, you know what I can do. That's not quite an answer. He's being coyish because David has to fight against his own people. Just like in the chapters before, when he fought, and he fought the towns that bordered Israel, and Achish said, what happened to those towns? He says, oh, you know, he said, I fought around the borders of Israel. But he never said that it wasn't the Israelites he was fighting, it was these other towns. So he's coy. So, and Achish said to David, therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him, buried him in Ramah in his own city. And notice this last verse. It's key to the whole thing. And Saul had put the mediums, that is the sorceresses, the witches, and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all the Israel together, and they encamped at Gilbo. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. Ever been afraid? Ever faced something so daring, so tough, that it makes you afraid? The question is, when that happens, what do you do? Now remember the end of verse 3. What does it say? Saul had what? What had he done? Saul had put out, right? The medium, the spiritist, anything to do with witchcraft out of the land. Okay, keep that in mind. He was afraid. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him. The Lord did not answer him either by dreams, by Urim, or by the prophets. My. Ever pray to God and you don't get an answer? The interesting thing here, when you read the parallel account, don't miss this, cross-reference, in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 to 14, it says, Saul was killed because he did not inquire of the Lord. It said other things, but it said he did not inquire of the Lord. But here it says Saul inquired of the Lord. So is, Brother Archie, did you finally find a contradiction in the Bible? No. They're both correct. You see, how did he inquire? He didn't inquire of the Lord faithfully. He didn't inquire of the Lord waiting to do God's will, because by this time he had dismissed God out of his life. We're told that Samuel died, but by the time Samuel died, he was not talking to Samuel because he didn't like what Samuel said. He didn't like it. And so he cut Samuel off. And so we hear Saul, who stood head and shoulders about everyone in Israel, who started out great. Here he's afraid of the Philistine army. Remember when they came after him in his beginning? He would look for a champion. He didn't run. You see, when you dismiss God out of your life, when you claim to be a believer, but you don't seek God, you don't seek his word, you don't obey his word, desperate times will come. And in your desperation, watch what you're going to do, as we will see here. Saul died. He sees these Philistines, okay? And they're at Shunem. So it's a new military campaign, okay? And he's afraid. He sought the Lord's guidance, but God did not answer him. Watch this. By dreams, by Urim or Urim, that's what the priests would use to get a message from the God, but of course there weren't any because he had the priest killed. If you read earlier accounts, or by the prophets. So all the ways that God would use to speak in those days, he heard none of them. Now you and I today, God speaks to us through his word. Can you imagine getting on your knees and praying to God? You don't hear his voice. I think that's what the sisters' conference is about, is it not? In this crazy world. But you don't hear it either in his word. You got a problem. But here's why he didn't inquire of the Lord. And Saul, verse 7, said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "In fact, there's a woman who's a medium at Endor." He wanted a witch, someone who did divination, someone who would deal in the occult. You know what the dictionary standard of a desperate is? Feeling showing or being involved in a hopeless sense that a situation is so bad as to be impossible to deal with. But there's a secondary thing. It says desperate usually applies to the action of desperate people. It says involving or employing extreme measures in an attempt to escape defeat or frustration. And that's exactly what he did. You know why? He had dismissed God out of his life. How do we know? Because verse 3 says he had put all these people out of the land. Now watch what's happening. He's resurrecting them. He's bringing them back. You see, when you dismiss God out of your life, old sins that you put away, be careful, they're going to pop back up. You have to be vigilant, like Jack in the Box. That's why Paul says in Romans 7, wretched man that I am, the good that I want to do, but this sin keeps popping up. And when we don't realize that it's a consistent, daily, minute by minute, second by second, hour by hour, walk with God, like Jack in the Box, when you least suspect it, it will pop up. And you know when it usually pops up? When you're desperate. In a desperate situation. So young people, you need to be careful that you don't dismiss God out of your life. And so he's turning. But not only that, look at the men around him. Right away, oh, there's one in Endor. Well, they should be saying, Saul, let us go look for one because you chased them all out. But they knew right where they were. I remember, and I've shared this with you, I would say to my father, Dad, why can't I play the records I want to play? Motown, Tamla, the Philly sound. And he said, son, sing the Temptations' latest hit. I would sing it. And we went all the way down the line. And he said, son, you don't play those records in here, do you? I said, no, Dad. He says, yet you know them all. He says, I can't do anything about what you hear out there. But in this house, you're only playing gospel music to offset what you hear out there. You see, we need to understand that. It's not the music of the world that we need. We need to offset the music of the world. And some of the things I hear playing, especially young people, I'm waiting to hear the message and all I hear is boo da boo da boo 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 boo. I don't hear the message. You know, you can crip walk to it. I don't hear the message. You can dance to it, but I don't hear the message. Now, not all the songs are like that, because there are many, many contemporary songs I like. But if you're going to play something, there should be a message in it. He had chased them out, yet these men knew where they were. Seems to me they were maybe sneaking out on the side and visiting them. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful. Not everyone who says they're a believer is a believer. Young ladies, be careful. Make sure you hold up that man or young man. Make sure you hold up that woman to the standard of God's word. Be careful. So he said, so Saul disguised himself, verse 8, disguised himself put on other clothes, and he went, and the two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me. Bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her, don't miss this, by the Lord. Don't miss that. How many of you have read that over and over in this passage and missed that? He swore by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And a woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me, for you are Saul? Now, there's a lot going on, so let's look at it. Notice the flow. He's scared. He turns to God for guidance. God doesn't answer him. So he has a backup plan. He goes to a medium, a witch, a sorceress, all right? One who can communicate with the dead. Specifically, he wants to communicate with the spirit of Samuel. Now, isn't that amazing? When the man was alive, you didn't want to talk with him because you didn't like what he said. Now, God isn't answering you. His word isn't answering you. And you hope somehow Samuel will answer you because you're desperate. So you're willing to take any extreme measure because you dismiss God from your life. And what happened? He meets a woman who succeeds, so he thinks, in calling up the spirit of Samuel from the grave. Okay? But guess this. She's just as shocked as everyone else. That's to show you how phony these people are. Because if she was used to doing it, she would not be shocked. I've shared with you this before. I went to Manhattan as a young man. And his fortune teller said, come in here. Let me tell you your fortune. I said, how much? She said, $100. I said, really? I said, tell me what I did yesterday. She said, why? I said, because I know what I did yesterday. So if you can tell me what I did yesterday, I'll believe you when you tell me what I'm going to do tomorrow. She said, sir, I cannot help you if you come in here with that attitude. I said, thank you for saving me $100. You see, but don't knock him. How many times have we as believers gone to the spiritually dead for advice? Gone to the spiritually dead for help? And ignored God's word? Ignored, I'm not going to talk to the elders because they're going to tell me stuff from the Bible and I don't want to hear that. Because it doesn't agree with my agenda, with the plans I have. You know the thing about God? He will get his message to you regardless of where you go. And you will end up doing what he wants you to do regardless of what you're doing when he comes after you. Like Jonah. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Woo! Going to Tarshish. On his way down, had a whale ride, all that other stuff. Back to Nineveh. He could have saved himself all that trouble had he just obeyed God's word. Listen to this. So, the woman sees Saul. She cries with a loud voice. Okay? This is God working. Because she had no power to bring up, I'm sorry, not Saul, Samuel. But God says, okay, you want to go there? I'm going to show you I'm God and you're not. And she says, Saul! She saw Samuel, and somehow she knew it was Samuel, connected it that this man in disguise was Saul. Do you know that when you dismiss God, you always got to disguise something? And you always go out into the night. Okay? That's verse 8. He stripped himself of his royal robe, said the Philistines that were encamped around him, he disguised himself and he went out into the night. And so many times you hear that phrase. Why? Because man loves darkness rather than light. No thief, or no small thief, no smart thief comes to your house in daytime. Comes at night. Why? They don't want to be seen. I remember when I had my dog Vito. Anyone who came at night was in for a big shocker. But at night, we think we can get away with it. Let me ask you this. Do you disguise who you follow around your coworkers? Do you disguise who you claim you love around your schoolmates? Are you like Peter when you're sitting by their fire, you curse and swear so that you can blend in? So you they think, do you laugh at their jokes? Because you don't want people to know that you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? He had a disguise on that was shredded. And the king said to her, do not be afraid, verse 13. What did you see? Now, she can see Samuel, but Saul can't. Isn't that interesting? She can see Samuel, but Saul can't. Ever do something? You never said that to someone, but they look at you and says, oh, you're a Christian and you said that? Or you did that? Listen, the world knows better than you how you ought to behave. And they're quick to tell you. So disguise or no disguise, when a man or woman truly knows Jesus Christ as Savior, somehow he gets that message out. And guess what? You're not in his camp, you're not in their camp, you're all alone like Saul. So he violates the very word of God. Leviticus 19:31 states, do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. So even though earlier he said it was wrong, and more importantly, even though God had said it's wrong, he goes in desperation because he had dismissed God from his life. You know what desperation does? It tempts us to do the very things we know and have told others is wrong. Okay? It's like someone saying, I don't know where my next bread is coming from, what else can I do but steal? Where else could I do but lie? Hit him back. Give her a piece of my mind or him a piece of mine. What other options did I have? But look at verse 15. Here's the explanation. Okay, verse 14. So he said to her, "What is this form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up. He is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. My, how the mighty have fallen. He's a king. And he's bowing down to ghosts, spirits. A man who once stood head and shoulders. When you dismiss God from your life, don't count on keeping his blessings. Well, it seems a little creepy. So Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed." I guess so. Look at what you're doing. "For the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me." No, you departed from God. Not only that, you dare to invoke God's name in the sin that you're doing by promising this woman, "As the Lord lives." Do you know when you sin, the Holy Spirit that indwells you can't leave you? And he goes crazy. If you're comfortable in your sin, you better check out whether or not, as the Bible says, you're in the good of it. Because if he indwells within you, he's going crazy. He said, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And he says, "God has departed from me, does not answer me anymore, neither by the prophets nor by the dreams. Therefore I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do." God isn't telling me what to do, so I'll take an answer from anywhere, even from the dead. Then Samuel said, "So why do you ask me? Seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy." Remember what in Hebrews it talks about willful sinning? You keep sinning and sinning and sinning, and there's no longer, you trample on the blood of Jesus, so there's only an expectation of judgment. This is an example of that. Willfully sinning and sinning and sinning after the Lord spoke to him, spoke to him, spoke to him. So Samuel now is going to give Saul a word from the Lord. What's that word say? Verse 17. "And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me." In other words, what I told you before when I was alive is the same message I'm telling you now I'm dead. God's word does not change. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." So if you somehow have an itchy ear and you don't like what the word of God says, you can perhaps go to another church and they may say it the way you like to hear it, but that doesn't change what the word of God says. Always remember that. And too many people bounce around. "Well, I don't like that church there. They talk about head covering and the glory of God and all this. I'm going to go someplace because, you know, I didn't spend my $250 to cover up my head. So I'm going to go to a place where I can worship with my head uncovered." Or they talk about, you know, men, you know, you should look like a man and not have your hair too long. Well, I don't like that. God's word doesn't change whether you like it Whether you agree with it, whether you disagree with it, whether you don't believe it, or whether you believe it. So he says, the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. Isn't this good stuff? I mean, you know, you ever knew such tantalizing stuff was in the Word of God? He says, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his forewrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, you want your future? Here's your future. The Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. In other words, you and your sons will die tomorrow. Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadful. He was desperate. Now he's dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. You know what this reminds us? In our desperate times, it should be used to direct our attention back to God. Not to the ungodly, but back to God. Do you feel our nation is in desperate times? God is saying, I'm trying to get your attention. Come back to me. Don't look at this party or that party. Come back to me. Take that dollar bill out and look underneath. And God we trust. Who are you trusting in? Come back to me. There's none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Romans 3, 9 to 12. Desperate times should turn us back to God. That's why James says, count it all joy when you go through trials. But James, there's no joyous about what I feel. I know, but God says, use it to turn yourself back to me. Have ever been laid aside and found, oh, I speak to sometimes when I go to the hospital and visit a saint. You know, I say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. You know? And sometimes some of them would share, boy, laying down on my back, I had so much time to look into God's word. Are you turning back to God, or are you being like Saul and going to those who are spiritually dead? Okay? You know what David did in desperate times? He said, I will look unto the hills. From whence cometh my what? My health comes from who? The Lord! That's what you're supposed to do! Look unto the hills, from where comes your help? It comes from the Lord. Not go to the Obia man. They're spiritually dead for advice. Well, you know, I had a little problem with my credit card. I charged up too much. I don't want to talk to the brothers because they're going to show me in the Word of God where it says the borrower will always work for the lender. So I'm going to go to someone who say, well, you know, let's see if we can get them to write off some of it. Even though the Bible says pay what you owe. Where does desperate times take us? You know what holy desperation is, as I call it? Here's what it is. It's the belief that I am so hopeless, I am so helpless, I must turn to God as my only hope. All right? It's a good thing when it turns us not to the spirits of men, but the Spirit of God. In Psalm 143, here's what David said in his desperation. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in the darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My faith fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love for you, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Psalms 143, verses 1 through 8. That's what desperation should cause us to do. It should cause us to pray. For those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ to God, knowing that he will answer us, okay? Worldly desperation doesn't do that. So what happens now very quickly as I close, he falls full length on the ground. Full length. He's faint. The woman sees he's severely troubled. She tells him, I've obeyed your voice in verse 21. She begs him to eat a piece of bread. He refuses not to eat, verse 23. The servants and the women begged him. And verse 24, the woman had a fatted calf in the house. She hastened to kill it. She took flour, kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread from it. She brought it before Saul and his servants. They ate, then they rose and went away that night. You know what that reminds me of when they mentioned the fatted calf? Not only the prodigal son, but that was his last supper. His last supper before he died. His last supper before the wrath of God was poured out on him. You know, there's another person that I put my trust in. He had a last supper. He was forsaken of God. But he was the fatted calf. He was the Lamb of God. When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. In the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? We don't need the risen spirit of a dead prophet. We need a risen Lord who has defeated death. And when we realize that, in whatever situation we're in, like David said, he's going to spread a table before you in the midst of your enemies. And as you go through life, no matter what the situation is, you're going to have a couple of buddies walking alongside you, goodness and mercy shall follow me. As you don't believe that, goodness and mercy shall follow me for an hour? For a week? All the days of my life. But that's not all. Because after I'm finished walking down here, guess what? I will dwell forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for your word. It is so unique. It is so powerful. It has to be written by you because in these very circumstances we see you and you alone. Enable us to take your word this morning and apply it to our lives. Enable us to take this word this morning and use it in desperate times. Enable anyone who's here who doesn't know Christ as Savior to understand that they are dead on their way to a lost eternity until they exercise faith in the risen Christ. Enable us this morning to never, ever put anything in your place when it comes to when we must make decisions, even if those decisions would require us to be humble. We know that you're doing that for our good, so that in all things you might have the preeminence. So this morning, Heavenly Father, your word will give back to each their portion, so that we may leave here knowing what we ought to do in the light of who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.